where it goes. What do you do if you don't have wine? So a lot of people would say right away, you use Khamar Medina, right? Khamar Medina meaning some kind of a beverage, we'll define a little bit later, but it could be beer, it could be whiskey, we'll get into a specific definition. So the answer is wrong. It really depends on what we're talking about. You have Friday night, you have Kiddush in the day, and you have Havdalah. And the halachot are different. If on Friday night you don't have wine, so the halacha is you're supposed to borrow wine from your neighbor. And the only time you're supposed to not use wine, or use something other than wine, according to the lashon of the halacha, is in Ein Yayin Be'ir. If there's simply no wine in the entire city that you could access in order to use wine for Kiddush. So in Ein Yayin Be'ir, if there's no wine in the entire city, then the next best thing is to use what?
Challah.
Wrong. Challah is the correct answer. Who said challah? Shkoyach. Right. The next best thing to use is to make Kiddush on the challah. Now, how would one make Kiddush on the challah? Basically, you wash your hands first, like a yekah would, maybe. Like yekahs wash during the yadayim before Kiddush in any case. But you would do the yadayim, and then you would basically go on to the regular nusach of Kiddush, and then, basically hold the challahs together up, make your Kiddush, and then instead of saying Bar Pei Gafen, you would say Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz, and proceed in such a way. What if you didn't have challah? Okay, so the next best thing to use is, Zach? Next best thing to do is? No. Pat haba b'kisnin. Pat haba b'kisnin. Pat haba b'kisnin means a type of a pastry. Rogalach, babka. That's part of the pshat of Pat haba b'kisnin. According to some, it could even mean cake or any kind of a whole mizono type of thing. But that's basically the next step. Okay, Pat haba b'kisnin is it's preferably something like a yeast dough. But even if it wasn't something with a yeast dough, like a cake, you would go for a whole cake if possible. Very much like lechem mishnah, if you don't have a whole challah, you don't have a whole cake, so you would make it on a mizonot. That would be the next thing. If you don't have that available on a Friday night, only then would you go ahead and use Khamar Medina. Okay, in the end I'll try to define what Khamar Medina exactly is. However, in the day, the halacha is you're allowed to use Khamar Medina if Khamar Medina is Chaviv to you. Okay, and according to most poskim, that's lachachila. In other words, let's say a person doesn't enjoy wine, and he really enjoys beer or whiskey more. So the halacha is, according to most poskim, lachachila, he could use chamar medina. Of course, he would have to follow all the rules that we said before, last week. The rule of having to be 86 cc's minimum, meaning a shear of a revius. Remember, my father told me a story when he first moved into Long Beach. Okay, you familiar with Long Beach? Long Beach, Long Island? When he first moved into Long Beach, so he was in Chinuch, he was the principal of the day school there. And people didn't know him when he first moved in. And they asked him the first Shabbos that he should go to different shuls that, you know, to get to see him, to meet him, etc. And one particular shul, I'm not going to mention which, one particular shul, after the tefillah, so they had a kiddush, and they asked that he should make the kiddush. But they didn't have any wine, all they had was whiskey. So my father says, okay, he's willing to make kiddush and whiskey, but he can't use one of these little shot glasses, you have to use a revius. So he made kiddush on his revius and drank my lugmav, and he said, for the 45 years that he was there in Long Beach, he doesn't know whether he gained as much respect as he gained that day when he made kiddush on a revius of whiskey. But that's the halacha. In other words, if you want to do whiskey, if you want to do beer, you have to drink, it has to be on the coast. Coast has to be 86 cc's, according to Chazon Ish 150 cc's, and you have to drink Mali Lugma. Okay? But that's if it's chavit. If not, you should use wine. If you don't have either, then you could also use bread. The reason why it's harder to use challah during the day, why challah is at the end of the list and possibly b'kisten is at the end of the list, because kiddush in the day only consists of bari pri hagafen. It was the psukim that we say before, okay, is something that was added by the Arizal not that long ago, 380 years ago. Okay, before the Arizal, no one was knowing to say any psukim in the day before kiddush in the day. All you did was you lifted up a kos, you made a bari pri hagafen, and then you drank and you gave out whatever to drink it, and then you go wash and eat. It would be kviat suda ala yayin. Because the point is that you open the suda with a kos of yayin, but it's not in nature the same thing as at night. At night we started the whole shiur explaining that there's a mitzvah d'oraita, zecharet yom ha'shabbat l'kadshah, that the pronouncement of this is Shabbat and saying those psukim is the ikar of kiddush midyoraita. That's really what you know what it's all about. In the daytime, it's something of a completely different nature, that kiddush rabba. As a matter of fact, there are some people, the Rambam as an example, and those people pass like the Rambam, but there are also people that come from Hasidic stock that do the same thing for Suda Shlishit. Anybody have that minhag of opening up Suda Shlishit with a kos? No, the Rambam says that you should be koveya all your sudot al hakos. You know, start all your sudot with yayin on Shabbat as a sign of kavod Shabbat. But again, most people have that minhag only for the day. The psukim that we say before, therefore, confuses us a little bit. In other words, it looks and mimics more of kiddush at night, even though the essence is not really kiddush at night. Therefore, if you're going to be making kiddush on challah, so imagine, in other words, comes lunchtime, you go, you wash your hands for alam tet yadayim, and then you sit down, and you say with us, maybe chazonic type of voice, hamotzi lechem in aretz, and then you eat. So it doesn't look like you did anything. Like, where's the kiddush? And again, saying the psukim, it's a minute to say the psukim, but it's not mikra din. You know, before 400 years ago, nobody did it. So that's why it's not the best option to do it al lechem. Yes, Daniel.
Let's say you don't have a share of wine Friday night. Other day of the
you're talking night.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have 86 cc's of wine.
Yeah.
But you have some wine. If I was in that situation, I would water it down. As I explained last week when we spoke about mizug, So the halacha is that you know, definitely the choladeil shonim, you could at least put 2/3 of water into the wine, and that would still be a bari peregafen. So that's what. But if you didn't even have that, so it's like not having wine at all. And you follow the rest of the rules. Now havdalah, like the daytime, is mutar b'chaviv. And that's why a lot of you might have seen your father, your grandfather, or your friend's father. I remember I had a friend's father that always liked to make havdalah on vodka. Especially when it came to, like, at the end of havdalah, when the minigas like to pour the wine on the flame. We used to go to his house, which I'll show you, just to see that. And he like pour the vodka on the flame, and the whole thing would go up, you know, in flames. But anyway, that's because havdalah, there is also a din of chaviv. There's obviously no din of lechem by havdalah. You can't make havdalah on lechem. If you have nothing else, so you basically have nothing else. But you can't make havdalah on lechem. Now let me now define chamar medina. The Orach HaShulchan feels that chamar medina, the word chamar medina means beer of, you know, of the medina, of the nation, of the state, beer of the state, or beverage of the state. So the Orach HaShulchan says that the idea is that it has to be some kind of a significant beverage. That's the only, that's the requirement, a significant beverage. And therefore the Orach HaShulchan felt Mikra Adin, even juice, even fruit juice is chamar medina, and he felt even coffee or tea is chamar medina. Okay, because it's a significant beverage as opposed to water. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that chamar medina is something that someone would drink, not just for thirst, but out of social mingling. You know, someone invites you for, oh, come have a glass of water with me, or come have an orange juice with me. So if you say no, you say, well, your answer is I'm not thirsty. Right? If someone says, have a beer with me, so that has nothing to do with thirst. In other words, he's inviting you for social, you know, interaction, and a person would be insulted if you say, no, I can't have a beer with you. That's how Rav Moshe understands it. And therefore, he feels that coffee or tea would be okay, because a person says, let's have a cup of coffee. And you know, I've often found myself drinking coffee or tea, even though I wasn't thirsty and wasn't interested in drinking, just because someone invites you for a coffee or tea. So you sit down with something to you know, talk over your coffee and your tea. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein therefore would exclude things like milk and things like juice, even though the Orach HaShulchan would include it. Okay. Another derech of the poskim is that it has to be something intoxicating. It has to have alcohol. There are even some shittot that say that milk, therefore, is good because milk has some intoxicating qualities. Maybe you haven't been drinking enough milk. Yes.
Well, what does intoxication add to the harmony? Like, why?
Why is it important? Chashivut. Chashivut.
So does that include, like, caffeination?
No, not necessarily. It's just, in other words, it's a drink that society relates to with chashivut because it's alcoholic or because it's intoxicating. Okay, yeah?
When you said Abdullah is
mutar b'chavit,
that's any drink that you like? What do you mean by mutar
b'chavit? Oh, wait, who said... Wait, hold on a second. Stop. Oh, Alex, Rebbe Vamori, Alex, after being molded by Rabin, he was 100% right what he said last week. 100% right. And you can repeat, Bakhazad. The Sefer Achinuch says that the reason why Chazal chose wine was because. Say.
It intoxicates your brain, so you love, like, whatever you measure with it, you like more.
Oh, I don't know if he says that. I think what you showed me, I only glanced at it when you showed it to me, I think it was more like it enumerates the mood of people. right? In other words, it makes you happier, and therefore the association is a positive or happy association, right? Okay. I don't think he used the word intoxicate your brain, the phrase intoxicate. But anyways. Yeah, questions so far? Yes.
Wait, so on Friday night when you said we should drink wine, does that include grape juice?
Yes. It definitely includes grape juice. Rav Lichtenstein, as a matter of fact, you know, always preferred grape juice over wine. But he was such a tzaddik that he never instructed the kitchen to give him grape juice. So for years and years and years he suffered drinking all kinds of horrible wine from yeshiva. No, like Ramami tells us how he said, I like, you know, rosé wine. And so they always had a bottle of rosé wine ready for Ramami Pal Shabbos. And Wilkins, he never said anything, but yes, the halacha is grape juice is just as good. Except for the two things I mentioned last week, that it should be unsweetened. According to the Rambam, you shouldn't really have any sugar added. And also, according to the Rambam, as I mentioned, and some Rishonim, that if it's Yain Mevushel, it's not the first type of wine you want to use. But again, I think most people are not really makpid on not using Yain Mevushel nowadays, and therefore there's no real preference of a wine over grape juice. If you enjoy grape juice more, for sure you should go for grape juice. Yeah?
What do you mean when you say Mutar
Chaviv? Huh?
What do you mean when you say Mutar
Chaviv? Chaviv meaning Chamer Medina over wine. You could prefer Chamer Medina over wine, L'chachila.
So how do people make a bell on milk?
How do they make it on milk?
Oh, never mind, you said
that. Yeah. You've seen people make it on milk?
My father makes it on milk.
Okay, there you go. So now you know why. Yeah.
For on Shabbos, you said that most poskim would say that you can use what's called Kiddush. So you said that
Kiddush in the day?
Yeah. You can use anything?
Chamer Medina. Anything that's Chamer Medina.
Is that only when you don't have wine?
No, that's what I mean. When I say Chaviv, it means even if you have wine available, you can use Chaviv, but on Friday night, it's not a dinner Chaviv. You should be going for the wine. Yes?
Is this also applied for when people say Berakhah Gavin after benching in the day?
You mean to make a bracha ala kos? Yeah. It would apply equally. You're asking me, can a person use Chamer Medina for a kli? Imagine they could. It's an interesting thing. I've never even thought about that. But I imagine yes. Imagine if you could make it, use it for Kiddush, you could definitely use it for to do ala kos. Yes. Yeah.
Why is grape juice allowed if it's not intoxicated?
If it's what?
Not intoxicated.
Because it has a din of wine. In other words, wine, Chamer Medina is only important because it's intoxicating. But Chamer Medina is the second in wine. In other words, the best thing to use is wine, is yayin. And grape juice has a din of yayin. So I'm saying tea or coffee would only be good if it classified as Chamer Medina, which is a machoket poskim. So those that need to say it has to be alcoholic and those that just that say not. Okay. All right. So how do you go about making the kiddush? First of all, if you are a righty, if you're a righty and you're Ashkenazi, no, let's do it the other way. You always hold it in your right hand. If you're a lefty and an Ashkenazi, so then you would hold it in your left hand. If you're a lefty and a Svardi, then you would still hold it in your right hand. The same din as we mentioned by Lulav and Esrog. Okay? It is preferable to have somebody lift up the kos for you. It shows covered for the kos. Person lifts it up with two hands. You slide your hand underneath the kos. Okay? And preferably have your fingers pointed up. Okay? When you're making kiddush. I can't explain to you why. Yes?
I noticed that Rav Lichtenstein does not do this.
What?
I noticed that Rav Lichtenstein does not do this.
But he holds his kos like this?
He holds it like that.
Huh?
He holds it like this.
Like this. It's Kabbalistic. It could be that he doesn't, you know, hold from the Kabbalistic thing, but it's Kabbalistic. Okay? It's not ma'akev to have, you know, people, let's say somebody else lift it up for you, and it's not ma'akev if your finger's pointing up, obviously. But you're supposed to hold it in your right hand. As opposed to having it on the table?
Or say you're like,
shaking.
Say your right hand, say you're like a cast or something. I don't know.
Yeah, if your right hand is in the cast, then you hold it in your left hand. Yes, that's true, for sure.
Is there anything to say? Anything to say where you just leave it on the table? Or you should. Is it definitely better?
I would not. In other words, I would find somebody else to make kiddush if you couldn't lift up the kos.
I'd say you can, but I don't think you could.
No, then you definitely should lift up. You definitely lift up the kos. Okay, the din of lifting the kos up a tefach off the table in order that it's clear to everybody in the room, you know, to be able to focus on the kos, there should be a tefach off the table. Now, and at night, there are different minhagim in how to start the kiddush. The first minhag is to say Yom Hashishi Vayechulu Hashemayim. Why do we start with that? Anybody know? Yud Kei Vav Kei, correct. Yud of Yom and Ha Shishi Hei. There's the first letter, each one of those words spells out Shem Hashem. The second minhag is to say Vahi Erev Vahi Voker Yom Ha Shishi. And the reason is because just saying Yom Ha Shishi Vayechulu means nothing. It's a nonsensical phrase. But to say Vahi Erev Vahi Voker Yom Ha Shishi, so that's part of the pasuk that at least means something, and you understand where it's coming from. The third minhag is actually to say quietly to yourself, "Vayar Elokim et kol asher asah v'hine tov ma'od," and then "Vayir v'voker." And the reason for saying all that, the whole pasuk, is because there's a rule the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that we do not delineate, we don't separate psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu did not separate himself. In other words, we don't cut apart psukim. You shouldn't quote part of a pasuk, and therefore, the idea is you say the entire pasuk. Okay. There's another interesting halacha that a lot of people are not aware of. Everybody knows the halacha that you're not allowed to write that originally you weren't allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh. Right? You knew this? You heard this? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi came along and said, Eit lasot la'Hashem efiru toratecha, if I don't write down the Mishnah, it's going to be forgotten, it's going to be lost. And he went ahead and wrote the Mishnah, and then afterwards, at a certain generation, they started to write down the Gemara. But until then, there's an issur d'oraita of writing down Torah Shebal Peh. Does anybody know where it comes from? There's a drasha. Chazal basically say that Torah that kol mashiv echtav asur lagid bal peh, kol mashiv bal peh asur lichtov. Okay, in other words, it's a two-sided din. One din is you're not allowed to write down the Torah shebal peh. It's supposed to be something that was specifically kept bal peh for many different reasons. But it was understood as something being on a deraita level. The flip side of it is that you're simply not allowed to say psukim by heart. And since you're not allowed to say psukim by heart, so when a person makes kiddush, the proper way of doing it is to look into the bench or into the siddur or whatever to be able to read the psukim. Now, why is it that so many people do it by heart? So the Mishavura comes up with all kinds of rationalizations that if the whole am. The Mishnah Berurah comes up with all kinds of rationalizations that if it's things that people know by heart, like Shema Yisrael and that type of thing, so there's not much of a hakpad on it. And that has to do with exactly what the reason behind the halacha is in the first place. But I'm telling you, the proper thing to do is to try to be makpid not to say psukim by heart, even if you're the type of person that, like a chidon Tanakh person that could just spout out psukim, etc. It's not a proper thing to do. You should be always reading psukim inside, specifically if you're speaking, you know, to other people. As if you're maybe alone by yourself, it's less of a problem. But speaking to other people, you should always be reading the psukim. What kind of kavanah does the Mekadesh have to have? The Mekadesh has to have a kavanah to be yotza on at night, a mitzvah d'oraita, right? It's chor yom hashel v'chadsho. L'chadchila, you're supposed to have kavanah for mitzvot. B'di'evet yiyotze, even if you don't have specific kavanah, because b'di'evet would say mitzvah lo tzrichas kavanah. You should also have kavanah to be motzi other people, in order that everybody listening could have to be yotze. And the people listening should have kavanah to be yotze with that person. Okay? B'di'eved, anybody who heard Kiddush would be Yotze in any situation. Okay? It's preferable that people answer Amen, but even if they only answer Amen, you'd be Yotze. However, if a person has negative Kavana, as an example, you're waiting for your wife after davening to make Kiddush for her, and this is a big Young Israel Kiddush, and there's a lot of people, so this guy's making Kiddush, and that guy's making Kiddush, and you're hearing many people making Kiddush, but you know that you're waiting for your wife to make Kiddush. So you heard many different people making Kiddush, and in the end, your wife ended up walking home, okay, and when you turn around to get some wine, there isn't any more wine because it's all drunk, so you're up a creek, you know. You can't eat the sushi, you can't eat the cholent, you can't eat anything because you want Yotze Kiddush. Now, if you had negative kavana because you had kavana to wait for your wife to make Kiddush for her, that's negative kavana. If you have negative kavana, then you wouldn't be Yotze. Any questions so far? Yes?
You say to have kavana for other people.
Yes, look, you don't have, if you didn't have kavana, specific kavana, normally you could say minastam is kavana. You say something out loud, you're really having kavana that anybody hears you should be yotze. But you should try to be mechaven, to be motzi other people. Let's say you're at home, you come home from shul, and you don't know anybody's in the house, and you make kiddush out loud, and it turns out that your brother was in the other room. Okay? All right. Now, if a person makes kiddush, he has to drink immediately. He can't talk. He can't be mafsik at all. Right? If he's mafsik, he would have to make boris peregraf at another time. In other words, if he's all of a sudden starts schmoozing about the weather before he drinks his wine, he would have to make boris peregraf a second time. It's preferable to sit down, as I mentioned, to be koveya makom. If anybody who heard the kiddush is yotze. Mikra din, nobody has to drink except for the Makadish himself. The Makadish has to drink, as we said last week, Amar Lugmav. The minog is that everybody wants to have a taste of the wine of the Kiddush, but you don't have to. It's just like a nice inyan to taste, of the wine of the Kiddush. In yeshiva, it's not practical for 300 people to get from the coast of the ayin of the Kiddush, so everybody pours a little bit into their cup, and the Makadish is mechame to that fact on all the wine that's in the room, all the wine that's on the table, and that's why when they drink, it's ki'ilu drinking from that wine. Now, before the person drinks, there's an issue of kos pogum. There's also an issue of germs. But there's an issue of kos pogum. In other words, if I drink from my kos, and then I start to pour off into little kosot to give out to other people, it's yain pogum. Which, like we said, b'di'evet is okay, but l'chachila, it's better that they not get yain pogum, it's better they get non-pogum wine. So what do you do? And also, as I said, if I drink from my coast, I'm kind of like sharing my germs with other people. What is the solution? So I think the simplest solution is after you make the bari per guffin, you finish kiddush, you make bari guffin, you quickly take another coast and quickly pour off from your coast into the other coast, leaving enough for a mali lugmav in your coast, and drink from that. And then you have this other coast where you could start giving out to all kinds of other people. Another solution, halachically, is rather than pouring, you could drink from the kos, leave more wine in the kos, and then just hand the kos itself around. Some people have that minhag. And if you drink from the original kilu kos, that's not called a problem of pogum. Anybody ever see that minhag where you have a family takes one kos and they pass the kos around the table? It's quickly dying. As the awareness of germs grows, that minhag is quickly dying, but that's a minhag, it's an old minhag Yisrael. Let us now discuss a very important halacha of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. Oh, I'm sorry, before I get to that, there's another eight. So let's say you drink from the wine and then you forget, I drank from the coast called your Yain Pogum, so as I mentioned last week, before you give it out to everybody else, you could take a little wine, pour it in, a drop of wine, pour it into the coast, and you're attacking the wine, and then you give it out to everybody else. Okay? There's a call of Ein Kiddush Makom Suda. What does it mean? The simple understanding, the halacha, is that unless you koveya suda, unless you establish a meal on that spot where you eat, where you make kiddush, you're not yotze kiddush. You can't make a kiddush unless you koveya suda in that spot. Okay? There's some Rishonim that hold the definition of a Suda is bread. Okay? For Kiddush in the day, most poskim are mekil, that you don't have to be Koveya Suda specifically on bread. You could be Koveya Suda on mezonot. If you eat a kazayit, preferably two kazaitim of mezonot in the place that you had Kiddush, then you yotzei. It's something you have to be aware of, especially nowadays where you have, you know, a lot of sushi and a lot of other stuff that's not exactly mezonot. It is possible to go to a Kiddush, hear Kiddush, and take a couple of, you know, some herring or some sushi or what have you, and, you know, and not be koveya suda, and you're not yotzei. In other words, you weren't allowed to eat that sushi if you weren't yotzei from the wine. So you have to be koveya suda on two kazesim of mezonot, or alternatively, to drink a revi'it of yayin. There's some shita that hold, well, one revi'it went to Kiddush, you have to have actually two revi'ot. But mikra din, one revi'it of yayin is also considered kviyat suda, and that's how you should do it. If you're going to eat within, let's say, a half an hour, short period of time, right after, in that same room, so that's okay. In other words, to make Kiddush and then to set the table or prepare whatever you have to prepare, it's not a problem with Hesach Adar, and that's still considered Kiddush B'makom Suda. Yes?
Based on Pesach, when you don't really have mezonos, the only thing to do is really just have the wine?
Correct, unless you eat kebrach.
Right, okay.
For those fortunate souls. Yes?
Is there any issue with making part of, with two people make some of the Kiddush at the Kiddush itself, and then they go home and have another Kiddush?
Yes. According to the Meiri, and this is connected to what we said before, there's an Indian of being koveya suda al yayin or al kiddush, and therefore when you come home, it's not halachically you're not required to, but there is an Indian to make kiddush at the table that you're going to eat your main meal at.
And then does the meal at the kiddush, either two kazesim or mezonos or the yayin, count as one of your shalosh sudot?
Yes, if you definitely. You know, if you had a mezonot, at shul, and then you came home and ate at home, b'di'evit, that would be enough for shal sudot. L'chachila, everybody holds l'chachila, you should have three sudot with bread. But b'di'evit, you didn't have, you could be someone on that. Yes, Michael.
Can you be koveya suda on rice?
On what?
Rice.
No. Rice doesn't count for kviyat suda.
Even if you have, a massive portion?
Doesn't count, since we passed that on rice, mushy rice, you make a mezonot, but the bracha achrona is a brain of fashot, it's, of course, it's not a kviyat suda. If a person, for dietary reasons, medical reasons, can't eat anything else, so that's what you have to do. That becomes your kviyat suda. You have no choice. It is preferable that such a person, let's say, drink grape juice, a revius of yayin or grape juice, in order to be at least be kovei on that halakhically. Yes, what?
That's my question.
Yeah.
Is there an Indian of an order, if you're at shul and you hear, do you have to have the revi'it yayin or the mezonot first, or can you have a sushi or an ice cream?
Oh, very good question. You don't have to have your mezonot first. In other words, if the sushi, you realize the sushi is going to go quick, and if you don't make your move now, you're never going to make your move. So you can eat the sushi first, and later on, 5-10 minutes later, sometime during that stint, whatever, a few minutes later, you could go ahead and have your mezonot. Yes.
If you're making kiddush to yotzei other people, and you just chug a revi'it of wine today, is that also being koveya suda for them?
No. Each individual person has to be koveya suda. Yes.
I heard the rabbinic figure who before making kiddush brought mezonot to the kiddush cup at the shul kiddush, and then made kiddush only when he had his mezonot in hand. Is there a reason to do that?
Because he knows in Young Israel you can't be sure of anything. In Young Israel's, you can't be sure that anything's going to be left within a couple of seconds afterwards. So he realized that he has to be koveya suda. So a kichel in the hand is worth two in the bush. Yes.
How much time can there be between when you hear the kiddush and when you have mezonot?
It's the same stand. I don't know. I don't know. There's some kind of achron that says 32 minutes or 71 minutes or whatever. The point is that it's in that standing. In other words, if you're having a kiddush and people are busy eating, it doesn't make a difference if it's 20 or 30 minutes later. The point is that that's considered your makom and you are koveya. Yes, Adir.
So there's no problem with talking, making other like interruptions in between Yom Kiddush and Mizunah?
Correct. You have to drink. The Mekadosh has to drink his wine, but you're not the Mekadosh. You just heard. You could schmooze and schmooze and schmooze, and then eat your Mizonos and your Koveya Suda, yeah? You need Kiddush Mokum Suda on Friday night as well. No, no. If you're going to drink wine, you're being Yotsu with his Bari Pergafen. And you're absolutely not allowed to talk. Let me just say something. It's very important. People don't realize this. Or people forget themselves a lot. Between Birchas HaNehenim, like Bari Pei Gafen or Hamosi Lechman Aretz, you absolutely can't talk. Be mafsik, you know, in any way. If you say pass the salt, it's not a hafsek because it's Letzorach Ochel. Okay? But any other type of talk, like fighting with your brother or anything like that, you're mafsik, you're not Yotze. So that, let's say by hamotzi, if your father makes hamotzi and you start fighting with your little sister or something like that, then when the bread gets to you, you have to make your own hamotzi because you aren't yotzi with his hamotzi. In between washing, which is what you can ask, huh? Anyway, in between washing, let's say you wash for Natil Yadayim, okay? In between the time that your hands get wet, when the second your hands get wet, until after you finish your bracha and dry your hands, you can't be mafsik at all. Again, maybe letzorach a thing like pass the towel, that would be okay. But on that, you can't be mafsik. If you, let's say, you pour water on one hand and you start talking to somebody else, it's a hefsek, you have to dry your hands and start again. Okay, you're supposed to wash your hands. You know, in other words, 1-1-1-1, and then rub your hands together, preferably. And right before you dry, that's when you make your bracha. Until you're dying, then you dry your hands. Once your hands are dry, you finish the act of the until you're dying, which is to dry your hands, then it's machloket Bavli and Yerushalmi. Okay? Most people have mothers who said to them, oh, you talk, go wash your hands again. Come on, how many people that happened to? Oh, boy, come on, you're all lying. How many people have never happened and their mother said, you talk, go wash your hands again? Okay, see, almost everybody. All right? Okay? The halacha is that if after you dried your hands, you made your bracha and then you dried your hands, so the Yushalmi paskins, you're not supposed to have a hefsek between then until after you eat your bread. But the Bafli paskins, that there's no problem with a hefsek. So we're nohig lechatchila to try to be nohig like the Yerushalmi, but meikudin we really hold like the Bavli. So for all of you who like were sitting at the table until your father got to the table to make hamotzi, you started fighting with your little sister, and your mother says, "Ah, go wash your hands again." So your mother has caused you to say a bracha levatala, basically. It's a bracha levatala. You're not supposed to wash again. I'm sorry that you have smashed these different halachic beliefs or whatever. It's a bracha levatala. In other words, if you're mafsik, it's not a hefsek between the two brachos. Okay? But then when your father makes hamotzi, you're supposed to stare at the challah and basically not say anything to anybody, not even in sign language until you eat the challah. Also, the mekadesh and the mevarech shouldn't talk until everybody got wine or everybody got, you know, took a bite of challah. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, is of the opinion that you should actually be eating 2 zeitim of challah right away. You know, it's not a problem of hefsek. Once you're nana from the challah, mikudin, it's not a problem of hefsek because it was a brichas and nana, and you were nana. But as far as kviyat suda, Rav Moshe feels that you should be koveya suda right away, immediately, on two zeitim of challah. Yeah.
Why is it different?
By the way, I just want to point out the fact that it's Rav Moshe Feinstein pointing this out, and all poskim until Rav Moshe came along, as far as I know, didn't say it. Also, shows something. But I'm just saying that that's what Rav Moshe feels that you should be eating. Yeah.
Why is it different? But like Michelle, just to hear Kiddush, your yotze, and when you talk, as opposed to when you're in your house, you have to drink.
Because there's no mitzvah for you to drink the wine. See, that really gets back to what we said in the beginning of last week. The essence of the Kiddush is commemorating Shabbat verbally. It just, we lift up the wine to everybody to focus on the kos of the wine. In other words, it's this paraphernalia that we lift up to give someone to focus something on. And then, as the Rav Zatzal pointed out, that once you lifted it up and you made a bracha on it, so it's like a zilzul in the wine to put it down and not drink it, so you make a bari pigaf and you drink it. I mean, this is the, he's just explaining to you the development of the halacha. The halacha is, you have to drink it. If the wine spilt after kiddush and you didn't drink, you'd be chayav to make the whole kiddush again. But that's the idea. There's no chiyuv for everybody else to drink. It's a minute to drink. Yeah.
So,
okay?
Yes, I at the same time, when, like, for example, if your whole family is at shul and you all heard kiddush, you know, you didn't drink anything there, but since I've heard it and you come home, you still don't have to make it.
You don't have to make kiddush. No. Again, it's a nice minute to do it. There's the me'iri of opening your sutta Shabbat al yayin, but yeah. Yeah.
When you, after the bracha, do you have to just taste the food or do you have to swallow?
What do you mean?
In order to not have a hefsek, if you have the food in your mouth but you have to swallow it yet, is that enough to kikover bracha or not? Or would you have to make a new bracha?
There's no doubt that lechatchila you should swallow. I believe that if you taste it in your mouth, you wouldn't have to make another bracha. I believe. I'll double check it. If you remind me, I'll double check that. Yes.
Why if you don't have to drink, if you're not allowed to, if you're not going to be drinking from the wine, why you're not allowed to, are going to be drinking from the wine? Like, father makes kiddush, and
the father makes kiddush and he drinks, then you're allowed to talk. But if you want to use his bari prayer gafen to drink wine, so you want to keep quiet.
So okay.
Okay, that's all, folks.